I know that several times over the years we've talked about the issue of domestic violence, but not often, and maybe I should say not often enough, but we're going to bring it up today. We're going to talk about it again here on NBL, and no matter which side of the border you're on, we hope that you'll listen. And in that sense, be a part of the conversation. Let me also encourage you, if you know a friend who's a victim of domestic violence, or you know somebody who's struggling with anger issues that has indicated in the past that they want help to be the best husband or individual they can be. I mean, domestic violence happens to women largely, but also at times to men. We're going to talk about all this, but we want you to be connected, and we want those that you love to be connected as well. So don't hesitate to encourage someone to listen as we talk about this issue here on NBL. Dr. Chris Moles joins us. He's an ordained minister with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, senior pastor of the chapel in Winfield, West Virginia. He's a certified biblical counselor, and he's also the man behind an organization called Peaceworks, which we'll hear about in just a moment. And then also Darby Strickland joins us, faculty member and counselor at the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. She's a contributor to Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused and author of a book called Is It Abuse? A biblical guide to identifying domestic abuse and helping victims. So I learned just a few minutes ago that, Darby, you focus a little bit more on the victim side and Reverend Moles more on the perpetrator side. But let me welcome you both. And Darby, let's start with you. Grateful to have you with us. Tell us about your experience with domestic violence in terms of what caused you to focus on this particular issue. I'm sure there are other things that you care about in your life, but this issue, how did it get on your radar screen?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I'm happily married. I've not been a victim myself, but as a counselor, I started seeing women who came into me and just were really confused about what was going on in their marriage. They were blaming themselves. They often were confused about their own story. They would share, "I'm struggling to respect my husband." They were questioning their own memories of conversations and events. And I didn't really understand what I was looking at. And I really just had to slow down, ask some good questions. And one by one, God just kept bringing me women in these oppressive marriages. And from that, I wanted to go to their churches once I understood the dynamics that I was missing originally, to churches and say, "Hey, can you help me? This is really some vile things are happening in these homes." And churches really struggle to understand. You know, you brought up one incident and that could be explained away. And so I wanted to work hard to find ways to talk about it biblically. We're looking at patterns of oppression and coercion to help churches understand so that they could better shepherd their flock. And so, yeah, it was mostly out of need and necessity, out of a tenderness to the people that I was caring for, and then just a desire for churches to do this well.
Yeah, and before we get to Chris, let me just ask this. You wrote a book called Is It Abuse? A Biblical Guide to Identifying Domestic Abuse and Helping Victims, but also you have a children's book, Something Scary Happened, and then a mini book called When Children Experience Trauma. I know that you write pretty regularly for the Journal of Biblical Counseling, but are all of those books, do they revolve around the issue of domestic violence or just the first one?
The first one revolves around the issue of domestic violence. The others do, right? Children in those situations experience trauma. So they are written to help parents navigate their children through some of these situations, but they could also apply to various other hard, scary, and traumatic events as well.
Well, we're in good hands today because Darby and Chris work together quite a bit. Dr. Chris Moles, as I mentioned, is an ordained minister. He's also a certified biblical counselor. He's author of a book called The Heart of Domestic Abuse, Gospel Solutions for Men Who Use Violence and Control in the Home. And good Lord, that's a scary title in and of itself, but it represents a really important issue. And Darby, apparently you've got a pretty close relationship with Chris in that you guys have been working together on this issue for some time. So let me welcome Chris to the conversation from West Virginia, I guess. Welcome to NBL here. Good to have you with us, Chris.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
So what's your connection to this issue? Obviously, as a pastor, I'm sure, you know, most pastors at some point encounter something that looks like domestic violence. But what's your history with this issue?
Sure. Much like Darby, I have a wonderful home life. My childhood was incredible. Never really expected to be in this work. It was actually through, depending on your theological bent, coincidence or providence, I lean towards providence, mm-hmm. that the Lord drew me in through bivocational ministry, pastoring in West Virginia, small church. I needed some extra income and had the opportunity to work in corrections as an educator. So I worked for unsupervised probation for several years, teaching various classes. And then 20 years ago, I was invited into what's called a batterer intervention program as a facilitator. And that's where I got my education. I have worked with violent men and men convicted of domestic violence crimes in that setting for 17 years, while simultaneously pursuing my master's in biblical counseling, learning, growing, and writing, and discovered that through research like that done by the RAVE Project, there's no discernible difference between rates of domestic abuse inside the church and outside the church, and started to hear more stories about men harming their families. Mm-hmm. So I took my knowledge from intervention, my experience with biblical counseling, and began to counsel, work, and form groups to help men who were struggling with this idea of coercive control, entitlement, and pride.
Yeah, I don't think that it's widely known, maybe in the circles that you guys run in, but just generally. Later, we're going to meet Steve Van Pagey, by the way. He's helping to organize this event that's happening at Heritage Reformed Congregation in Lincoln, Ontario, Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th. So just so you know, there is an event coming up that you want to know about. But Steve, I know, is a part of a group, and we'll talk with him later, of men that meet and pray about these kind of things on a consistent basis. But largely, my experience has been, and I don't know if it's typical, but that these things are not generally discussed openly, maybe in private counseling sessions and stuff. But the idea that this would be a topic discussed in church circles, I don't know. And so, Chris, you may have a different experience with that. I'd love to hear from you. But while this is a huge issue and a very important issue, I don't know that the church has paid enough attention over the years. And I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yeah, so I do think it remains somewhat of a hidden issue. It may be the most misunderstood and mismanaged problem from a pastoral perspective. Looking at all the things that we deal with in pastoral ministry, this tends to get mislabeled, miscommunicated, and misunderstood. Darby wrote an exceptional piece years ago where she described domestic abuse as looking at yourself, your reflection in a spoon. Mm-hmm. It's distorted and upside down. And I think what happens with pastors in particular, Neil, is we lack the imagination for how significant abuse can be. And so we tend to project our own experiences. We know what it's like to be in a conflict. We know what it's like to be annoyed. We know what it's like to have conflict in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we hear disclosures that are not graphic. We're not in the room when they happen. In the stale, static environment of a pastoral study, we can easily misunderstand what we're hearing and interpret it as something different. And then the last thing I'd say on that, when it comes to silence, it's estimated that 20 to 25% of men are participating in these activities. It's a much smaller percent who are actually abusing their families. But that means there's 75 to 80% of us who remain silent or unaware. So I often say I think this is a men's issue, in that if men would be aware of what's happening and leaders would be aware of what's happening, I think we could significantly reduce instances of violence if we were just willing to say something.
Gotcha. Darby, what's your take on that as a female and somebody who deals largely with victims? Most of the victims, statistics indicate, are women. Some are men, but you've had plenty of conversations with women who are victims of domestic violence. What's your take on what Chris just shared?
Yeah, I think to compound that is victims don't always understand that they're victims of domestic abuse, right? I will be working with someone and asking, if you ask them, are you abused? They're imagining that I have to have been hit across the face, right? They don't understand that being screamed at so loudly that the dog is cowering and chased around the house for 30 minutes is abuse.
Mm-hmm.
right? They have their own stereotype of what it is. And to compound that, their spouse who is oppressing them is telling them that this is their fault. I wouldn't be so angry if you weren't so dumb. You know, I wouldn't have to take sex from you if you would be less prudish. So they see themselves as the problem. So when they come forward in a church, they're not often disclosing, like Chris says, the details of the incident. I always tell my students when I'm training, we often as church members want to get to the content of, you know, there was a budgeting issue. Well, let's talk about the details of that. We don't often think about the screenplay of the argument. What did it look like in the home? If you were in the room, what would you witness? And victims don't report those things, and they don't actually have clarity often that what is happening to them. So I think that makes it even more confusing to hear it as somebody receiving the story, but also as someone who's trying to ask for help. They usually are asking, how can I be a better spouse?
Okay, and why is that? Because that was going to be my next question. Why is it that the woman tends, and probably not in every case, I get it, but why is it often that the woman bears that weight? Like, you know, he's probably right. This is my fault. If I was just different, this probably wouldn't happen.
I wish I had a nice, clean answer for you. I think it's probably different. I've seen in some church communities where the wife does bear the burden for a happy and healthy marriage and a satisfied husband. A lot of Christian literature is written that way. We kind of miss the idea, the difference between joyfully serving, like we joyfully submit to a Savior who woos us, right? But sometimes we misunderstand that and it feels more like subjugation, right? Submission is misunderstood. So there's all that, that's some aspects and angles, but also what's happening to you is so shameful that you're not checking in with your friends and asking about the really intimate details to know, is this normal? I think that's part of it. So I would say Chris might add some other factors, but those are the two that I find to be the most insidious. The shame around it, but also our misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian woman who is honored and cherished and still serves, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that feels so distorted, Chris. Like, how did that, what Darby just described, get so distorted in the church?
Well, I think there's probably two angles on that, Neil. One is the worldview. I do think they're going back to that lack of imagination. I think there's a worldview in which inadvertently or overtly pastors and leaders have put a lot of burden on women in particular to prevent violence, which is really silly because abuse is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other side of it, having worked with abusers for 20 years now and individuals who struggle with that type of entitlement, that level of pride and entitlement that invites you or tempts you into coercive control, I heard it was said once by Paula Silva from Focus Ministries that abusive men perceive themselves as misunderstood but not wrong. And so there's a real fight for their heart. They believe that they are entitled to do this because of something that has happened to them. Mm. They perceive critique as attack. They perceive disobedience as disrespect, right? And so there is definitely that pride that gets pushed up against, and they push back way too hard, incredibly inappropriately and sinfully. So it is a lot of work to move from that, well, Chris, if you only understood why I had to do this versus I was wrong. I never should have done the things I did. And that is a big leap when you have pride, you know, crouching in a way at your heart continually.
Yeah. Well, I've got so many questions. We're going to need to take a break, but let me do this. Chris, since we were just talking to you here, you've got an organization that you're part of called Peaceworks. I don't know if that's where you want to send people for more information. You're also obviously an author and a contributor to Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused, a curriculum that's available. But how would somebody connect with you or follow up on some of the resources that you might be able to make available?
Yeah, two places that are the best. One is chrismoles.org, chrismoles.org. That'll lead you towards Peaceworks and kind of our overall ministry. And then menofpeace.org. Men of Peace is our curriculum and focus on helping men with gospel-centered solutions. So at chrismoles.org and menofpeace.org. are great places to start. You'll find our podcasts, resources, books, and digital courses.
Okay, and Moles is spelled M-O-L-E-S, for those who are listening, chrismoles.org or menofpeace.org. Darby, how can we best connect with you?
I work for an organization called the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, and their website is ccef.org, and they offer many free resources on their site, as well as you'll find all my books, resources, and church training material available there.
Okay, CCEF, it stands for Christian Counseling and Education Foundation, ccef.org. And for those that are interested in this conference that's happening, you know, thank God it's happening. Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th, right in Lincoln, Ontario. That's in the heart of our listening area there in the Niagara region of Southern Ontario. It's happening at Heritage Reformed Congregation, Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to the WDCXradio.com events page and scroll down and you'll see the Breaking the Silence conference there. That will lead you to a Facebook site where you can, and I think Eventbrite, where you can sign up for tickets and participate that way. But you want to get to the events page at WDCXradio.com. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Chris Moles, he's pastor of a Christian Missionary Alliance Church in West Virginia, also very involved in the Men of Peace organization and an organization called Peaceworks. Darby Strickland is a faculty member and counselor at the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. So grateful to have you with us today here on NBL. Reverend Chris Moles is with us, M-O-L-E-S, by the way, because I spelled that out because he's got a website called, or the address of which is chrismoles.org. He's also part of menofpeace.org, and he's got extensive background in dealing with abusers, literally perpetrators. Darby Strickland, as we talk about here, domestic violence. She's worked more with victims and has a lot to offer. She's on the faculty member and as a counselor at CCEF, the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. Both of them have resources available, and they are the presenters at this conference, Breaking the Silence Conference, happening Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th in Lincoln, Ontario. We want you to know about that, and you'll find information on our events page at WDCXradio.com. A little bit later here in the conversation, Steve Van Pagey will join us. He's very involved in all of this, and I know that he's been a part of the Men of Peace organization for a while. Chris, can I just ask you about that real quick, menofpeace.org? Sure. What is that group? Because we're going to hear more about it later, but can you tell us right now?
Yeah, so Men of Peace is drawn from Psalm 37:37, mark the blameless, there's a future for the man of peace. And the concept is, I believe that group work is a little bit more effective than individual care when it comes to perpetrator work. So it is a biblical-based psychoeducational group, accountability-driven. It runs through a specific curriculum, start to finish, and we host annual groups at Peaceworks, where I lead. And then we have partners that lead groups around the country under a license. They can use my curriculum. And then my digital course is available online, and that's how Steve got connected, just leading men through the digital course that they purchased on our website when they want help. And so we've tried to reduce barriers to entry. We have a free podcast with myself and my partner, Greg Wilson, and then our new book, The Path to Peace, which is a 90-day devotional for men who use control in the home. And so we've tried to offer various price points so there's low barrier to entry. So anybody who's struggling with this issue or a helper can come alongside and walk with a man that wants to change.
Wow. I'm thrilled to hear that there's so much available to help in this particular area. I've got to believe there are some pastors listening right now who know that domestic violence-related issues, relational violence issues are happening in their own congregation. They're not sure what to do about it. There may be some women listening who are victims of domestic violence or some form of relational violence and haven't really ever identified the fact that they're a victim. They're just thinking maybe all of this is my fault. And some of these folks are going to have questions. So the opportunity that we have to send them to some of these sites and to talk about this event that's happening on Friday, May 29th and Saturday, May 30th is vital, I think. Let me highlight a couple things here. Well, before I do that, let me ask you this question. Chris, you're a pastor. You've been around the church, I'm sure, for a while. And you know that sometimes when something comes up, like a key member of the elder board or something is thinking about getting divorced or gets caught looking at pornography or something, we have a tendency to want to try to cover things because it's just so uncomfortable. It doesn't reflect well on the name of Jesus. We want people to think that everyone in our congregation is doing well. And I did pastor for 8 years, so I know some of this pressure. I'm not saying it happens rampantly or that, you know, that people aren't walking in truth and in freedom anywhere on the planet, but I do know that there's a temptation to kind of keep things under the rug, and particularly when it comes to this issue of domestic violence. You know, churches have been famous in the past, I'm just going to say it, keep it real, but where pastors, especially in the 60s and 70s and 80s, would say, hey, look it, ladies, you need to submit to your husbands. The real problem here is that you're not submissive. And that puts the blame on the woman and empowers the abuser in that situation. I guarantee you're aware of that. So I want to give you an opportunity to address it, because in some ways, churches are part of the problem.
Yeah, I think the first thing that you brought up, the temptation to cover up, minimize, deny, blame from sins such as pornography, voyeurism, sexual assault, infidelity, and domestic abuse is pretty rampant in the church. And I would say the temptation to say that we're attempting to protect the name of Jesus is actually totally deceptive. Mm-hmm. By covering up, we're actually harming the name of Christ.
Right.
Transparency, bringing things into the light, is actually our responsibility. So handling things well. I don't think we have to air every piece of dirty laundry that's ever been soiled, but it is important that churches handle those problems well. And when it's, to your point, an elder or a pastor, we handle those publicly. That's what we're called to do. When that credible accusation is made against an elder and we confirm it through investigation, witnessing, then we handle that publicly. And I think that's a great sin of the church today, that we continue to hide, cover up, or allow individuals to work from ministry to ministry while not experiencing repentance. I say often, you know, Walmart's hiring, there's other places to earn money. It's okay to have that ministry forfeited. It's okay to acknowledge that and to restore that individual to Jesus, not to restore them to a position. And it's really a shame that we tend to restore people to ministry positions and pulpits, and we value that more than restoring them to the Lord, which may require them to give up that because they're no longer qualified.
Yeah. All right. Sensitive question for Darby based on what Chris just shared. And I'm going to refer once again to the 8 years that I spent, three as an associate pastor, five in a lead position as a pastor of a church. A couple of times during that, you know, during those years, I had some individuals show up at the office with a stack of information they printed off the internet that gave them every reason in the world why it's okay for them to divorce their spouse. And, you know, we know that God hates divorce, but the other reality is that divorce happens, and that God's grace is sufficient. So I think there's way more things we could talk about with regard to, I'm only bringing it up to say that I think women have been pressured over the years, this is my opinion, to stick it out, sometimes even when in an abusive situation where their own life is in danger, and have been made to feel that it's their responsibility as a Christian woman to stay in an abusive marriage. I guarantee at some point in your experience, you've dealt with that question. And for any woman that's listening right now who is being abused, now I'm not talking about that one time her husband raised his voice when he was upset that his favorite, you know, root beer mug got broken or something, like, but I'm just saying, when real abuse is present, does a woman have any responsibility to stay in an abusive marriage when her own life might be in danger, Darby?
Oh, no. Right. So, yeah, if there's a pattern of coercive and controlling behavior, or if there's physical violence, right, the Lord does not call us to remain in a position where we're going to be harmed if we can escape it. We even see the Apostle Paul in Scripture fleeing harm. We see Jesus at several points where they were trying to corner him or harm him, and he slipped out until it was his time to be crucified for us. we see lots of examples. I can think of even Abigail in Scripture. She was married to Nabal. His name was literally a fool in Scripture, and he was making decisions that were dangerous to her household, and she had to defy his authority to protect everyone living with her. So, it is, right, with wisdom, I think, with good community, helping you be wise and strategic, just to know that God does not call you to put up with unrepentant and rampant sin. Actually, he actually calls us, Ephesians tells us, to bring it into the light where it can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. That, you know, to choose life is another theme we see in the Proverbs. I would just say many of the women I have counseled have chosen to stay in their marriage for the sake of their children. And what I've just seen is so grievous is, when their children, you know, arrive in their 20s, they want nothing to do with the faith that they think held their mother there, right? So even women trying to make good decisions, thinking my children, it's good for my children for I to be married, versus it probably would have been better for your children to name the evil in your home and that God hates what is happening to you. Proverbs 7 or 6 talks about, you know, God hates a lying tongue. Mm-hmm. A deceiver or murderer. And so there's things that God hates, and it's good to name those. And pretending or keeping the peace or believing that we're called to suffering is really a distortion of the gospel.
In a minute, I'm going to talk a little bit about the conference and the topics you'll be dealing with at the conference. And so, you know, we're going to go there. But I before we do, Chris, let me come back to you for a minute. As a pastor and a guy who works with men who have been abusive or who are afraid they may become abusive, either way, you're part of menofpeace.org, which is an organization I would encourage any to check out. What's your approach to a man who has been abusive? Because in one sense, as a man of God, you might want to just, you know, rough him up a little bit, try to wake him up. I mean, but there seems to be defense mechanisms built in and so much deception and people saying, but only you don't understand what's going on with my wife. How do you get a perpetrator or an abuser who's not yet broken? I'd say, you know, the Holy Spirit breaking their heart might make all the difference in the world. But how do you approach that situation in the first place? You might actually be in danger for bringing up that kind of an issue. So where do you begin?
Well, we do train on this quite a bit about risk and openness to change, and we try to help our people that we train, you know, assess. But I think to your point, Neil, Galatians 6 really gives us the framework that we use. If a brothers and sisters, if any of you are caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore such a one. So we definitely want someone who's spiritually mature doing confrontational ministry. This is not a novice ministry. Mm-hmm. The passage goes on to say to guard yourself so that you're not tempted in the same way. So we encourage our people to be winsome. The idea that you said, sure, the temptation to bully the bully is there, but it's ineffective. It's not going to work. And I think Paul knows this in Galatians 6. Why would we participate in the exact same worldview and behavior to get conformity from him? We're just reinforcing the point. Mm-hmm. That. So we want to be gentle. We want to be winsome. We want to be inviting. And God will not be mocked. We understand that consequences are part of this. You reap what you sow. So we can be firm and resolute at the same time inviting this person to repentance. And I think that's really the key. The old adage is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Mm-hmm. We can't force anyone into choices. But we can try to provide means to make him thirsty. So we say we can feed him crackers. The idea here is, you know, what's it going to take for you to want the glory of God and the safety and sanity of your family more than your own comfort? What's it going to take for you to recognize that your wife's safety is more important than your desire for peace and quiet, or whatever it is that's warring for your heart? That's James chapter 4. We do what we do because we want what we want. So having those type of theological, practical conversations lead us to a place, you know, where we can fish or cut bait, as the adage goes. Are you really a believer? Do you really want to honor God? If you do, here's the practical way to do that. If you don't, then just be honest with it. And be honest with yourself that you don't know Jesus from a hole in the head and you have no interest in being in the family of faith. Yeah. I know that sounds blunt, but that's actually an effective conversation to have. Mm-hmm. I would hate for people to lie to themselves And if they really want to pursue Christ, I want them to pursue him fully.
Right.
So let's get on board and treat our families the way he would call us to treat our families.
Yeah, Reverend Chris Moles is part of an organization called Peaceworks. And if you want to connect with some of his work, you can go to his own website, Chris Moles, M-O-L-E-S, chrismoles.org, or menofpeace.org. I encourage you to check that out. He's also author of the book, The Heart of Domestic Abuse, Gospel Solutions for Men Who Use Violence and Control in the Home. Is that available at Amazon, by the way, or through one of the websites?
Yeah. You can find that at Amazon. All of my books are on Amazon. I believe all of Darby's are as well.
Okay.
Oftentimes, they're linked together, just like me and Darby.
Yeah, and as you heard, Chris spends a lot of time working with perpetrators. Darby, her focus is much more on the victim of abuse. She's author of a book called Is It Abuse? A Biblical Guide to Identifying Domestic Abuse and Helping Victims, a children's book called Something Scary Happened, and a mini book, as it's called, When Children Experience Trauma. But you can connect with some of the resources at CCEF.org, that stands for Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. Christian Counseling Education Foundation, CCEF.org, to connect with some of those things. In a minute, I'm going to ask each of you to just make a final comment, really a plea to anyone who's listening, U.S. or Canada. And by the way, you know, this event is happening in the Niagara region of Southern Ontario, easily accessible from places like Buffalo, Niagara Falls, Rochester, et cetera. If somebody wants to cross the border, I'm sure you'd be welcomed. But Toronto area, you know, you're only an hour away. So we've got wonderful opportunity here for lots of folks in our listening area, all of Western New York, all of Southern Ontario, Toronto and beyond, to be able to participate. And so I'll ask you to invite folks to come. But let's talk quickly here. I realize our time is kind of short, but about the content itself. Friday night, Chris, you're going to be speaking on coercive control and covert abuse. And then on Saturday morning, you'll be touching on forgiveness versus enabling. I wonder if you could comment on that. Then we'll ask about Darby's keynote sessions. But coercive control and covert abuse, and then also forgiveness and enabling. Chris, can you talk about those?
Sure. Really, we're going to be giving an overview of helping ourselves as helpers understand the difference between maybe the legal code that might be present in our countries for domestic violence, and then also what's happening that's sinful. So there's things in our cultures that are utterly sinful but completely legal that still fall in the category of coercive control, the use of force, threat, and fear. And then, of course, when it comes to forgiveness, I think one of the things we're experiencing in the church that's just devastating to me is conflating repentance with confession and forgiveness with reconciliation. Repentance is a hard work, especially when there's this threat of and violation of safety. And so we just want to be really clear what repentance looks like, what it's not, and then why forgiveness is something that you know, God himself expects repentance from us. He offers it freely to us, but we don't want to cheapen forgiveness in such a way that we don't hold people accountable or make sure that folks are safe. And speaking of safety, I think I'd be remiss if I did not mention that if anybody's listening today that you find yourself in a situation of your safety's lost, things like the hotline.org and the domestic violence hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, that's 7233, would be a good immediate resource, just so we have some emergency procedures if you need some help.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Canada, 866-863-0511 or text 7233. So I'll repeat those again, and I appreciate you bringing them up. Darby, on Friday, you'll be talking about the deep wounds of abuse, understanding its psychological and spiritual effects, and then Saturday morning, you'll address divorce and separation in cases of abuse. Anything, any other info you can help us with regarding what you'll be talking about on Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, I think what's on my heart on Friday night is a lot of Christian women, the way that they're intimidated or controlled is through the use of scripture, and God's good words are used against them. And wanting just to really slow down and understand how disorienting that is for a victim and how they can often think that God is displeased with them too. And how that makes it hard for them to see clearly, but also have confidence in how to address things if they're made and shamed, right? Mm-hmm. So that's Friday. Saturday, divorce and separation is a little sticky. Most victims I work with, they want a worker process. They want their husbands to engage with Chris's material for a year or two. They're not quick to move, right? They want restoration. But it's good to know what scripture says about your personal safety. And so I'll probably think about it through the lens of safety, when separation can be good and helpful. Want to be clear what the Bible does and doesn't say about divorce. A lot of people have read, you know, heard Malachi, God hates divorce. But he actually, if we open up the NIV translation, it doesn't actually say that. He hates the what's happening to women who are being taken advantage of by their spouse, and he hates that. But just being really clear about what scripture does and doesn't say about divorce, and thinking about how abuse is a form of desertion, actually. So yeah, it'll be nuanced and careful. I think victims might be afraid of that session if I don't say that, because that's not our goal. Our goal is not for divorce. We do want to work a path and see what can be redeemed. But if that needs to happen, we want people to have their options, not restricted, when God doesn't restrict them.
Yeah. And last question, Darby, real quick, but on the heels of like another act of violence or aggression or something, you know, two, three, four times a woman has seen this and the husband's saying, but this time I really, really, really promise it'll never happen again. Is it time to seek help? At what point do you say we need help or I'm going to the authorities?
Oh, please. Yeah, no, the first time you are injured in any, you go to the authorities and you report it. We don't have to wait for there to be a pattern of physical violence.
Amen.
I think we long for genuine repentance. And so an apology is often seen as hope, but people are what they do, not what they say. And so that's why Chris's session on what true repentance is versus just an apology is just going to be really pivotal. We long for change, and so we oversee it, but it actually has to be evidence and sustained over time for it to be verified and leaned into. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me give you an opportunity here. Darby, speak directly to our listeners. We've got people there in Southern Ontario and some just across the border in the U.S. that could benefit tremendously. Maybe some victims right now who are riveted to what you're saying because they know they're in the situation that you're describing. Word of invitation for people to engage either with the resources or by coming to the Breaking the Silence conference Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th. Can you just speak from your heart?
Yeah, I think what I would want victims to know, or women who are wondering, is what's happening to me bad enough to be abuse, is that when the Lord in his word talks about oppression, he talks about his rescue. And he just has such a tender heart towards the vulnerable, to the crushed, and to the oppressed. And that's what I hope when they engage Chris and my resources, that's what this conference will portray. Even Jesus's first public ministry, I would say, to helpers from Luke 4, as he's reading from the scroll from Isaiah, he's saying, you know, Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me. And part of that is to set the oppressed free. If it's on Jesus's heart, this type of gross treatment and the desire of deliverance and care, it has to be on our hearts as people who represent him in his church. And so come and get trained so you better to see it, but be part of the solution for it as well.
Amen. Absolutely commend both of you for the work you're doing. Pastor Chris, Dr. Chris Moles, however you want me to refer to you, you've done a lot of work in this area, and I want you to speak directly to our listeners about potentially attending the conference, reaching out, getting help. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah, we would love to interact with you and meet you. It's a great opportunity to raise awareness. I don't think Darby or I, either one, believe that attending a couple days is going to make you an expert or call you into the depth of ministry that we're currently doing. But it's a good start. Awareness is a great place for the church to grow and begin their journey of learning, and we'd love to be part of that. And I think if you are a victim or a survivor, and you're just curious and you want to pop in We'll do our best to make that a safe place for you to learn, to listen, and maybe be affirmed in the things that you're feeling and you're hearing. And it's always good, I believe, to have that affirmation come from a pulpit, from people who love you and love the Word of God. And so to me, that's the other thing, Neil, I would say for anybody who just really values the Word of God and its position in our life as Christians to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Darby and I are both committed to that, and for years have been striving to apply biblical truth in a way that sets people free rather than restricts them further. And I truly believe that's a ministry that Christ has called all of us to, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Amen. Well, Moles is spelled M-O-L-E-S, chrismoles.org, if you want more information about the work that Reverend Chris Moles has done in this area of domestic violence. He's author of the book, The Heart of Domestic Abuse. He's also involved with menofpeace.org. You can learn about that. And, of course, he's one of the key presenters at this Breaking the Silence conference. Darby Strickland is a faculty member and counselor at the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. And by connecting with CCEF.org. You can connect with her there and learn more about the work and the resources that are available. She's author of Is It Abuse? A Biblical Guide to Identifying Domestic Abuse and Helping Victims. And she spent a lot of time working together with Chris Moles. So the dynamic duo will be back again at Breaking the Silence, a conference that's happening right here in our listening area, Friday, May 29th, Saturday the 30th at Heritage Reformed Congregation in Lincoln, Ontario. So I think if you or anyone you know or love has any connection to this issue at all, this is something you need to take very seriously. If you want details on any of it, you can find out more by going to the events page at WDCXradio.com. Scroll down and click on it. You can order tickets. You can learn about what's happening. WDCXradio.com. Click on the events page. Darby and Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for being a part of NBL today, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. God, I just pray for Darby and Chris and all who are involved in this type of work. We pray for victims, Lord, for their protection and deliverance. Thank you, Lord, that you came to set the oppressed free. And for those who are perpetrators, God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you get a hold of their hearts and allow them come to a place of surrender to your authority in their lives, that they might truly learn to love with the kind of sacrificial love, the life-giving love that you have loved us. And so I just pray for your Holy Spirit to reign supreme in all of this, God. Thank you for the opportunity you've presented today. And we pray for the success of the conference that's going to be happening in a little bit later this month. God, we look to you. You're our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks again to Darby Strickland and Reverend Chris Moles for joining us. They're key presenters at this special Breaking the Silence conference that's happening Friday, May 29th, Saturday, May 30th in Lincoln, Ontario. And Steve Van Pagey is one of the organizers of this event, here to talk about some of the details related to your participation. So I invite you to stick around for a few more minutes. Steve, I know you were listening to that conversation we just had with Darby and Chris. I'm personally very encouraged to know that there are people like Darby and Chris who've dedicated so much of their time to helping to address this issue of domestic violence, which I think often gets pushed under the rug. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but man, I'm glad that this issue is not fully being ignored in church circles. I think we could pay a lot more attention, but thank God for the work that is being done. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with everything they said. It's something that often gets swept under the rug, so to speak, and not addressed. And Darby mentioned about bringing sin out into the light, and that's something that needs to be done to get proper healing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a subject that is not easy or nice to talk about, but it's unfortunately necessary. And it's good for the church to understand that and to start to address that. And knowing that, you know, there are people in the church that are going through that in secret. So to have resources and to know that they can come to the church and it will be addressed properly as opposed to dismissed.
Yeah, now you're working with several people locally on this issue. I know you're part of the Men of Peace group. I don't know if you want to talk about that. It's up to you. But collectively, you've decided to put on this event, and Heritage Reformed Congregation is the place where it's going to occur. So give us a little history of, you know, how this special Breaking the Silence conference, you know, came to be and what you want us to know about what's going to be happening on May 29th and Saturday, May 30th. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I was asked to come alongside a gentleman in my life and go through the Men of Peace course with him. And so that was kind of my exposure, being my exposure to Chris's work in the Men of Peace. I'm not directly affiliated with Men of Peace, but I've gone through their program in a men's group that that we host. So that was kind of the inception of it. And since that, you know, I've had several other guys join over the years going through the Men of Peace course, which is it's a lengthy, in-depth course, but it's necessary to get right down to the root of the problem and the motives that drive a lot of those issues in the guy's life, in terms of, you know, him recognizing what is abuse and why he does what he does. So that it's very it's a very well done course. It's a video series course with questions that go along with it, and it really digs deep into the heart of the man as well. And it's very gospel focused. You know, and Chris alluded to the fact about, you know, don't lie to yourself about whether or not you're a believer. You know, he said you'd rather know upfront if someone's not. It's easier to work that way. So, you know, not deceiving ourselves either in that regard in terms of our faith. But, you know, for the men too, it's getting down to, you know, what Christ calls us to be. And, you know, Ephesians 5 is, you know, a very clear passage of that. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Mm-hmm. When we really dig into that and we, you know, ask the Spirit to really open our eyes to that, it should change the way we live in our families, how we treat our wives, how we treat our children. You know, knowing that what Christ did for me, he gave himself. And then he says, that's how you need to be. And I really appreciate, you know, when they talked about how sometimes the church can be a part of the problem, they might emphasize more the wives submitting to the husband. That's the Lord's command to the wife, not the husband's or the church's. The Lord is saying, wives, submit to your husbands, right? The command to the husband is love your wife as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that is not understood properly, and it's not put to the forefront as much as it should be as well. Because if, like Chris talked about, if we address the men and the men become godly men, this problem should dissipate in the church. We you know, I long for a day where Chris and Darby don't even have a role in the church in this matter anymore.
Right. Yeah, one other thing to point out about Ephesians 5 is that verse 21 says, submit therefore one to another out of reverence for Christ. That, you know, a lot of the focus has been women submit to your husbands, and yes, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, which means you're to lay your life down, you know, give up your life for your wife. But that submission also is a mutual kind of submission. And I don't think that gets emphasized enough. My point being that there's so many misinterpretations of Ephesians 5, but let's see what God is actually asking us to do and pursue it with vigor, because it's for our benefit and it's for the benefit of our marriages for sure. Let me just touch on this. Dr. Chris Moles, at this conference, which is happening Friday, May 29th, and Saturday the 30th in Lincoln, Ontario. By the way, that's kind of between St. Catharines and Hamilton, right? It's somewhere in there?
Yeah, we're closer to St. Catharines. We're right kind of between St. Catharines and Vineland there. It's okay. Our church is right off the QEW, so it's easily accessible. You know, doors are going to open on Friday night at 6 p.m., with a 7 o'clock conference start. And then Saturday morning, it's an early start, because we're under some time constraints, to get Darby and Chris traveling back home. So we had to start a little bit earlier. But doors are going to open at 7 a.m. With the conference starting at 8 a.m. And ending at 1 p.m. And there will be from 12 to 12:45, there's going to be a Q&A, which attendees will have an opportunity to pre-submit questions and have these speakers answer those.
Wonderful. All right. So it's a Friday night and Saturday morning conference. And, of course, the conference begins at 8 on Saturday, but the doors open at 7. So that's doable. And if you want to participate, go to WDCXradio.com/events or just go to the events page there and you'll see the Breaking the Silence conference listed. That'll take you to a place where you can order tickets. And as I understand, if you use the promo code WDCX20, you get 20% off. So
that's correct.
Yeah, that's quite a deal. And by the way, if you're coming from the U.S., the U.S. dollar goes pretty far in Canada, plus 20% off. I mean, you're in the 20-something dollar range.
Practically free, right?
Practically, yeah. In fact, you guys maybe would owe people money if they come. but the point being, it's easy to access just beyond St. Catharines and, like, from Niagara Falls, New York. That's, like, 10 minutes. It's really not far. So, yeah, we want you to think about attending, and the details are at WDCXradio.com on the events page. Click there. U.S. or Canada, and we hope a lot of folks will come from the Toronto area, from the U.S. to participate. Don't hesitate. Here's a wonderful opportunity. So Chris Moles, Dr. Chris Moles, will be speaking Friday night on coercive control and covert abuse, Saturday morning, forgiveness and enabling. Darby Strickland, who you heard earlier, she'll be speaking Friday night on the deep wounds of abuse, understanding its psychological and spiritual effects, and then Saturday morning, divorce and separation in cases of abuse. But there's some breakout sessions too, and I wonder if you could quickly run those down. We don't have a lot of time here, Steve, but that's going to be a powerful opportunity for people to learn some additional things. Can you talk about the breakout sessions?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Dr. Van Berge coming from Burgessville area. His topic is on healthy caregiving in domestic abuse situations. Mm-hmm. We have one of our committee members, actually, Marianne. She's going to be, her topic is on domestic abuse effects on children. We have one of our local counselors, Judy. Her topic is it possible to thrive rather than despair in a difficult marriage? And we also have a good friend of mine, Mike. He's a police officer, and he's going to be doing a breakout session on the role of law enforcement and social services in abuse situations as well. So the conference is over 75% full. So we do have a cap on it. So there's still some room, but if you want to join us, now's the time to get in before it fills up. Yeah. And we also have a bunch of vendor tables that are going to be there. We have Reform Book Services are going to have a book table there, and we have a bunch of counseling centers there as well. Insight Biblical Counseling will be there. It's our local one here in Welland. The Christian Counseling Center, the Canadian Biblical Counseling Coalition, Called to Peace Ministries, which a few of the ladies on our committee are involved with, and also Agape Recovery. So they're all going to be there as well. So there's other good resources that are going to be available at the conference other than just the speaking sessions.
Well, no question, it's the place to be. Friday, May 29th and Saturday, May 30th. The Breaking the Silence Conference. Again, details available at WDCXradio.com. Click on events. And anyone who orders a ticket that way using the promo code WDCX20 gets a 20% off ticket. So excellent. Chris Moles and Darby Strickland are the keynote speakers. Steve Van Pagey helping to organize this event. And Lord, we pray for the success of this event, largely because it ultimately will bring glory to you. God, when lives are transformed and we walk in the freedom that you made available to us by your death, burial, and resurrection, when we begin to live life in accordance with your word, God, marriages will flourish, individuals will flourish, and there'll be peace and safety for those who live in any home in the U.S. or Canada. But we really need your intervention in our lives. And so I just pray for this event. I thank you for Steve's foresight in helping to organize it. Pray for safe travels for Chris Moles and Darby Strickland, and just ask God that you would be Lord over all of this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, listen, Steve, thank you so much. And if there's anything else in the meantime between now and then that we need to let people know about, keep us posted. But you mentioned a Facebook page. If somebody wants to try to dig around, is there a Facebook page for one of the groups that you're involved in?
Yeah, so we do have a Facebook page for the Breaking the Silence Conference. The easiest and most direct way for your listeners to get that link would be to go on the events page on your website, and that'll take them directly to the Facebook page, which will also link them to Eventbrite for their ticket sales.
Tickets. Okay, simple. WDCXradio.com, click on events, and the Breaking the Silence Conference will be right there. God bless you, Steve, and God bless all that happens at the conference. So grateful you could join us today on MDL.
Great. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.